Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Alamucha.
Ooh, that would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy
Strange. That was real, by the way.
No, don't do that. Don't give the disclaimer.
We got to keep people guessing.
Make them wonder. Yeah, I mean, they'll figure it out eventually when I start talking to you in the show. But let's have them on the edge of their seat for a good 2-3 minutes while I get through all this. So
okay, why not?
All right, we'll know for next time. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Order it, ship it right to your door. Strange Brew Coffee. You can start your morning with Strange Brew every single day. Our friends at Pip Printing and Signs have a deal that you, a business owner and a Mississippi State fan, you simply cannot pass up. The opportunity to become a Bulldog Initiative business without spending an extra dime. You see, you already spend that money on printing. It's part of what you spend every month as a business owner. Give your business to Pip Printing and Signs. Tell them you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. And then 10% of whatever you give them, whatever you sell with them, goes straight to the Bulldog Initiative in your business's name. Guys, if you're a state fan and you want to support Bulldog Athletics, there's no better way than the Bulldog Initiative. And there's no better way to do it than by not having to spend any extra money. And also, you just happen to get the best PIP, the best service, the best printing out there with PIP Printing and Signs. Call Camden Baker at 601-499-5216. He'll get everything taken care of for you. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. As we sit here, it's still Sunday, 2 weeks away from Father's Day. Have you taken care of Dad yet? I hope you have. If you haven't, College Corner can help you out. They have a great selection of polos, of T-shirts, of hats, everything with the logos that you want. They've got all sorts of great gifts for Dad. It's right there. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet or Flowed by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. We had a listener text in or tweet us this evening. Hit up Sunday brunch at Restaurant Tyler. He did not leave disappointed, and neither will you, because the brunch at Restaurant Tyler is the best in the city. Sunday brunch is a great, great thing. You know, it's like breakfast and lunch, but both. Who would have thought of such a thing? Only the geniuses at Restaurant Tyler, obviously. So if you want to enjoy a great Sunday morning after church or before a day of whatever on a Sunday, it's a great idea to head over to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Go to the website, PriorityOneBank.com. That'll show you the location nearest you. It'll also show you everything that Priority One Bank can do for your money, how they work for your money, not make you work for your money, how they can take care of your money, and they can take care of your future, and they can do it all with a service, with a smile, with the down-home feeling of a community bank, but everything you would expect from one of those big corporate banks. It's got everything you're looking for under one roof. Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We've been talking for the past couple of weeks, Robbie, about nuance and about how two things can be true at the same time. Mississippi State season comes to an end. Charlottesville, Virginia, 9-2 is the final score. A game that saw the Bulldogs go into the top of the ninth, down a run, looking to maybe make another dramatic comeback win, and then the wheels completely fell off for the Bulldogs. Two things can be true at the same time, Robbie. This season was better than most people expected it would be. This season was also disappointing from the standard of Mississippi State baseball. Agree or disagree?
Absolutely agree. And that has been the message on this podcast since the start of the season. Mm-hmm. Every single thing that we have talked about that has been considered negative this year showed up at the end of this season in some form or fashion, whether it be them having to travel, whether it be something that they were doing at the plate, in the field, even pitching, decisions, things like that. All of that that we've talked about, that we've said are issues for this team and are going to be a detriment for this team down the stretch, happened. And it's why Mississippi State is going home and not advancing in this tournament. So, you start at the very beginning, and we talked about the schedule at the very beginning and how Mississippi State was going to have to get the job done in non-conference play and couldn't have any mess-ups. Well, they did. They lost 7 non-conference games. They lost some terrible games in non-conference play. And at the end of the year, you look back and RPI is talked about as an issue for this team, strength of schedule in non-conference, not the quad 4 losses. That is why you're at Virginia playing against one of the best offenses in the country, and I think they proved it. You can't be upset at this team for losing this regional. It was going to be really difficult to knock this Virginia team out in quite possibly 3 games. I think that's probably what you were going to get no matter what. Had you won the winner's bracket game, I still think Virginia could have possibly come back and forced a game 3. So you're essentially playing a 3-game series against Virginia on their home field, and that's not what you want to do. So to avoid that, you take care of business. And Chris Simonis brought it up on Sunday night. They didn't take care of their business. They didn't win the games that they needed to win. They had so many opportunities down the stretch to eliminate that and make sure that they hosted, and they did it. I'm not going to harp too much on that. I think what we need to harp on is the little details as to why those losses happened. And that's an issue for this program now for the last several years. The little things that Mississippi State did wrong over the course of the season, and especially in this game tonight, is why they're going home early. And it was a constant problem for this team. It definitely showed up throughout the year. And it's made this such a complicating season to talk about, Brian. In one hand, this is definitely a team that overexceeded their expectations for us. And the person that's really upset listening to this podcast, that is wanting the pitchforks and the torches to come out, is going to say, yeah, but the expectations of Mississippi State, I get that. The expectations are for Mississippi State to host regionals, host super regionals, and to compete to go to Omaha. And Mississippi State didn't do that this year. But when you consider the last 2 seasons, and I understand Chris Lemonis is a part of that, this was a huge jump for Mississippi State from last year to this year. And it is a very positive step forward for Mississippi State to be able to go from winning 26, 27 games, whatever they had the last 2 years, to winning 40 and to being in position to host was huge for them. And what they did on the pitcher's mound this year was incredible. But at the same time, you look at all of what else they could have accomplished, and it certainly is frustrating. It really is that this team should have been significantly better than they were. They missed their opportunity to have an even better year this year than what they had. I mean, this is a team that I think is capable, had they been able to take care of their business, of winning 50 games and being in Omaha, and they weren't able to do it. And I guess what you could say about that is, at the end of the day, the reason they didn't do that is because they were the team that they were. They didn't do the little things right. It all kind of evened out in the came out in the wash, if you will, that this team was a team that fell short of expectations because they didn't do the little things right.
I want to talk about 2 things from the game itself, because I think they warrant more discussion. I haven't read any post-game transcripts or anything yet. Did Lemonis address Dakota Jordan trying to steal in the bottom of the eighth when he's on base with Hunter Hines there facing a 2-0 count. They were obviously trying to pitch around Hines there. They didn't want to pitch to him. They wanted to pitch to Hizak, who was cold. It would have been the right decision to do. But DJ gets caught stealing. Was he asked about that decision, or was that, you know, was that brought up?
No, and I regret that I forgot about that. But I'll say this about that. They take off and steal on their own a lot. They make their own decisions. And I could definitely see DJ reading that and making that decision on his own. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine Mississippi State calling for a steal right there when Hunter was basically about to walk. Mm-hmm. They're really being careful with him, because you make a mistake right there and group one in there, Mississippi State leads the ball game and has Tyler Davis coming in with a clear inning, I guess, to try to win the ball game. So it was a bad decision at the end of the day. But another thing I'll say about that, if you just steal the base, you were there. If you just steal the base normally, you don't slide through. I mean, what are we talking about?
No question. But I think that's a situation where, for me, just for me anyway, the risk outweighs the reward.
Yes.
My opinion. There's two outs. You got one of your best hitters up. They're clearly pitching around him. Just, you know, if DJ went off on his own, he's got to be coached to know, hey, I can't, this is not the situation for that. And
I don't want to steal him 3-0.
Right. You
know? I mean,
yeah, just into another pitch, because the pitch that he steals on was a ball. It is 3-0. You're one pitch away. You're going to be on second base anyway. Yeah. He's going to walk. And then you just sort of go from there. So that's a bad decision.
And it just feels like the game was over. I mean, I had no inclination. And I will say this, Hunter Hines and Connor Hizak are coming up there in the next inning. So it could have turned out well for Mississippi State, but it just felt like that was the ball game. Mm-hmm. I had no belief that State was going to be able to win that ball game after that, and that was before they fell apart there in the ninth. Mm-hmm.
Then you have the ninth. So Gavin Black, you know, I thought at this point Lemonis has made a gamble that looks like it's going to pay off, right? That he's decided we're not going to bring in Nate Dome. We want to save him for a potential game on Monday. Let's bring in Gavin Black. Gavin Black goes out there and looks like, you know, prime Bobby Thigpen out there, just mowing guys down in the eighth inning, comes out in the ninth inning, gets an out, and you're like, okay, you know, going to keep it at one run. They decide to go to Tyler Davis. I guess it was a matchup thing, lefty-lefty. I also don't have a huge issue with the fact that you're going to your closer who's been good for you all year. But it completely fell apart for Mississippi State after that decision. So what did Lemonis have to say about making that decision and making the change there?
Yeah, he said that he didn't want to bring in Nate Dome in a situation where there was runners on base. He wanted him to have a clean inning if he was going to bring him in. And they did want the lefty matchup there with Didowick, I think's his name. And, you know, he had a big hit the night before, and they wanted their best to face him. And, you know, it's a little bit of hindsight, but I see both sides of it. It's a little bit of hindsight, because when Gavin Black came in, I saw a lot of people saying, why are they bringing in Gavin Black? Why are they not bringing in Tyler Davis or Nate Dole? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you got a guy rolling. Don't overthink this.
Yeah.
He had run through 2-3-4 in the order in the inning before with two strikeouts. He got a fly out too. I mean, they couldn't touch him. The first four guys that he faced could not touch him. He struck out three batters in the first four batters. And you're getting to the bottom of the order here. And I think it's just a little bit of, you know, overthinking that situation. You get an out, just let him finish it. Let him get it out of the way. And also, if you come and walk off the ball game at that point, you got a really fresh Tyler Davis on Monday after that. So I didn't get that decision. You know, like I said, I could see a little bit of the both sides, but Gavin Black was feeling it at that point. I think he could have got you through those next two batters. And I also think the rain really kind of hurt Mississippi State during that inning too. I think kind of the wet ball, the wet field, it just unraveled everything for them. And I felt bad for Tyler Davis because he has been so freaking good this year.
Yeah.
And that was easily the worst, you know, outing he's had this season. He couldn't get it out.
Yeah, that it was painful to watch. There's no getting around that. You know, that's
but you know, a lot of that too set up with the fact that Mississippi State was absolutely dejected after DJ was tagged out at second base. I mean, it just felt like it was not in the cards for Mississippi State to get David Mershon picked off at second base. You had a leadoff double from Hunter Hines. He was left at third. Mm-hmm. Dakota Jordan thrown out. I mean, it was
the story of the season, Robbie.
Yep.
Leaving runners in scoring position. So that's you know, so like I said, it's a two-sided coin, right? You and I both thought that when we got to June 2nd, we would be discussing a coaching search. We thought that in February. There's no getting around that fact. I thought it as late as the start of conference play. You know, the Friday before the first SEC game, I went on ESPN Radio in Baton Rouge and talked about how this team wasn't any good and they weren't going to be any good and probably going to be making a change at the end of the year. Completely wrong about that. But at the same time, I can sit here and tell you that, you know, my standard and what I think Chris Lemonis would tell you the standard is for Mississippi State baseball was not met this year. And that's to host regionals and to have a chance to go to Omaha. You know, that's Chris Lemonis, when I interviewed him back in the fall, he said the standard is Omaha. That's our standard. Standard not met 3 years in a row. And so for me, when I look at ahead to next season, and we'll do a little bit more looking ahead after the break. I wonder a lot about where this program is right this second, and whether or not that standard needs to be changed. Does it need to be, you know, this getting to the tournament is good enough? Because I don't see a program in place right now that can sustain that standard. I don't see a baseball program that I can count on to be in the discussion to be a top eight seed and host super regionals and give themselves a chance to go to Omaha. I don't see that program right now with Mississippi State.
No, I don't either. That's kind of been my worry about things for a while now, is there's just so many things that this team does fundamentally wrong. And, you know, the IQ side of things, like, why did you do this right here? Why are you making this decision in the middle of a play? Things like that. They just sometimes kind of self-implode a little bit. And that has been the case with the last three teams. They've fixed so many things with this program, but there's also so many issues when you break it down. And a lot of people get upset when you bring that stuff up, but do you consider Mississippi State one of the best programs in college baseball? And if your answer to that is yes, is it okay for you that now 3 years in a row they don't host a regional? Two of those years, you didn't even make the tournament, and you didn't make the SEC tournament in two of those seasons, and you're losing ball games the way that you are. You're not just getting flat beat. And I think Virginia is a better team than Mississippi State. I really believe that. I think they went out and won these ball games more than Mississippi State just losing them. I think that State definitely did some things that hurt themselves, but Virginia went out and took the ball game from Mississippi State the last 2 days. There's no doubt about it. They were presented with an opportunity in both games, and instead of Mississippi State taking care of their opportunities, Virginia went and took them. That's what really good teams do, and Brian O'Connor has done that on a consistent basis. This program was nothing before Brian O'Connor.
Oh, no question.
They went to three NCAA tournaments in the entire history of the program. He gets here in the 2000s, and he's been to Omaha six times. He's won a national championship. They've been to 17 tournaments, I think, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Brian O'Connor has established a culture here of great baseball that has transcended players, decades, teams, whatever. And that's kind of the standard that they've set. Mississippi State has a standard too. And Chris Lemonis has been to two College World Series. He has accomplished things that nobody's accomplished at Mississippi State. But at some point, we got to figure out what is Mississippi State baseball under Chris Amonis. Is the first two seasons that he was here, the first two full seasons, I guess, was that a fluke? Or was that a really good coaching job and things have just kind of fallen off a little bit? I think next year is going to really tell the tale here, because at that point, you've kind of settled in now for 6-7 years, and you kind of see the direction of things. If this thing is right back to a losing season and winning 9 or 10 SEC games, then you really have to question what you got here. So this is a huge offseason for Chris Amonis, and he's got to go out and get players first and foremost, because Mississippi State was lacking a whole lot of depth on this team, especially on the offensive side of the ball in key spots. And they're lacking some guys that can go out there and just win ball games for you. They got to have a better offense. There's no doubt about it. I think more often than not, Chris Amonis' teams play really good defense. They might make a mistake here and there. They had three errors tonight, but this team this year played great defense on the whole. And this weekend was exceptional until today. I think defense is a calling card for this team. I think pitching with Justin Parker is, but you have to question where this offense is moving forward. And whether it be the philosophy or the players they're recruiting or whatever, they've got to take a step back and look at what they can do to change things offensively and make this a more offensive ball club that's going to be able to hit 1-9, be relentless at the plate, and really help you in some of the games like this where you need to break through in some of those middle innings. They went 8 straight innings without scoring a run after hitting the 2-run home run by Dakota Jordan. There was way too many games where that happened this year, and it just it really killed them.
Well, let's look ahead a little bit to next season. Let's talk about that. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council. We want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. We're in the summer now. It's time to cook out. Cook out as often as you can, and nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Cooked some steaks this weekend for me and the girls, and they couldn't have been happier because it was steak night on Friday night. So steak night is always a great night. It always makes everything better. So if you're feeling a little down about Mississippi State baseball, eat a steak. You'll feel better automatically, I promise you. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. They've got such a great menu, so many good things to eat. Doesn't matter, you know, how picky you are, somebody is going to find something they want to eat when they head over to Two Brothers. And if you want to try something really cool and new here in Starkville, I cannot recommend enough the Older Brother, located in the old Two Brothers location over there on Rue de Grand Fromage. And you're going to get some really cool new food that we don't have other places. So it's just unique. And I definitely want you guys to try it. I know Robbie is talking about when he gets back into town, it's going to be one of his first stops this week. So check out Two Brothers, the home of smoked Southern soul food. Check out the Older Brother, a fine food sandwich shop and bistro right next to each other, right there in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products and great service is what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They have been doing it for 49 years. 49 years. They've been taking care of you guys, taking care of their customers, and being able to sell top-notch technology for you, for your business, everything you need there, copiers, printers, computers, laptops, mailing and information systems, whatever it is. And then when something goes wrong, and hey, things go wrong. There's just no getting around that. You can sell the best quality equipment in the world, something can go wrong. They will always be there to back you up. They're always right there in the state of Mississippi. So a lot of times when you call them, you're going to take care of your problem the exact same day. That's the kind of difference we're talking about with Advantage Business Systems. Give them a call, 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're going to be in Starkville anytime soon, you need to head to Maroon & Co. You need to get Dad something from Maroon & Co. He's probably got a closet full of maroon and white polos with a logo on. Well, let's switch that up a little bit. They've got a great selection of cool stuff at Marunico that you can't get anywhere else. Different looking polos, different, unique gear. So check it out and get Dad something that he hasn't had before. I think he'll appreciate it. I might be dropping hints here. I don't know. Not like anybody's listening that's going to get me a Father's Day gift, but I'm just saying maybe somebody is listening that knows somebody that could get me a Father's Day gift. I'm just asking. Before you head to the game, this Robbie just gave me a look. Before you head to the game, this, get on with it, man. Anytime. Head to Maroon & Co. First off, by the way, happy birthday. Speaking of giving gifts.
Thank you. It's been a long one, man. 12 hours at the ballpark.
That's how I like to spend my birthdays as well, is getting out. 12 hours at the ballpark and get finished with a quick, swift kick to the Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm used to it at this point. I want to say it was my birthday the day Elijah McNamee hit the walk-off against Florida State.
Well, so that you take the good, you take the bad.
I've been covering a regional on my birthday, let's see, 17, 18, 19, 21, five times in my life. So 5 out of 30 years I've been covering a regional on my birthday.
There you go.
So
all
right. It is nice to be able to do that again, because the last 2 years I have not enjoyed just sitting at home and not being able to watch postseason baseball.
Well, let's look ahead to next season. You kind of hinted about it previously. Right now, as it stands, I would not be able to tell you a single weekend pitcher for Mississippi State. If you ask me, Pico, yeah, that's probably a good choice. But, I mean, it's not locked in. It's not locked in like Gerangelo was this season. Or that, not even Nate Doan would have been, I think, to a certain extent. When you talk about the lineup, I imagine Ethan Pulliam will be a part of it. I imagine Nolan Stevens will be a part of it. And then after that, I'm kind of, I don't know. I don't know that I've ever seen a Mississippi State baseball team that's going to have as many new faces in the starting lineup as this one, the 2025 Diamond Dogs, will be. You need to go out. I mean, this is not an exaggeration when I'm saying that you need to go out and get approximately 15 to 16, 17 players, pitchers included, and you have to get difference makers. This is not about getting depth. This is not about adding a piece here or a piece there. You need two guys who can pitch on the weekends the way Kyle Steven and Gerangelo Sanjay pitched this year. You need a guy who can come out of the bullpen the way Tyler Davis and Tyson Harden and Nate Doan did towards the end of the season. You need to replace Dakota Jordan, Hunter Hines, Connor Hyzak, David Mershon, Bryce Chance, Amani Larry. You got to replace all those guys. That is a massive, massive task for Chris Lemonis.
It's almost a tougher task than last year.
Agreed.
I mean,
and he should have some more momentum, right? I mean, it should be like, okay, back into the postseason. You got a pitching coach that pitchers should want to work with. You obviously have everything that Mississippi State can offer you. But still.
He did say that, they've already had some traction. He believes with players that are already in the portal and some of the grad guys. It's like, one of the things is, there's conferences like the Ivy League where guys cannot play a fifth year. Mm-hmm. And they are allowed to transfer. And some of them are already, committed to schools while still playing, things like that. So,
one is committed to A&M.
Right. He played for Penn, I believe. Mm-hmm. They're already recruiting. And there's a portal window, I think, that's opening up on Monday. Mississippi State will have players go in the portal, too. But there's going to be a massive push for Chris Lemonis, and has to be, to completely restructure this roster. And honestly, there's a lot of guys that they need to replace, and there's some places where they can upgrade from what they had this year. Let's be honest. So I don't think it's a totally bad thing to have a little turnover on this roster, but when you start to break down some of the guys that they could lose, I mean, It looks like they're probably going to lose. I mean, I would be shocked if Dakota Jordan came back. I would be pretty surprised if David Mershon came back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does Hunter Hines come back? I don't know what his draft stock is right now, honestly. I'm not real sure. And then all the pitchers, the pitchers that they're losing, Cal Stephen.
The issue with Hines, obviously, is that he has no leverage if he comes back next year.
Yeah, but it just depends on where is he drafted is kind of my thing. Is it can he make more money coming back to Mississippi State next year than a signing bonus?
It's a big risk.
Well, is it a big risk? I mean, how much more money is he going to make next year anyway? I mean, if you can give somebody as much money as they could make on their signing bonus or more by coming to Mississippi State next year, I just don't see that as big of a risk anymore as it used to be, you know?
The good news is you can let's say Hines is waffling and you're like, we can make you an NIL offer. This isn't a situation where it's like we have to offer Hines this money or try to go get somebody in the portal. You can do both. You can keep Hines and go get another guy in the portal for sure.
That's right. But, yeah, I mean, you're talking about a whole lot of turnover from guys that played this year. And I guess to me, like, one of the biggest things is kind of the pitching staff, because you had a lot of struggles offensively, and your pitching staff kind of carried you most of the way. And the pitching staff was it had its moments this year where it struggled, but for the most part, it gave you a chance almost every single game this year. So replacing guys like Cal Stephen, and listen, we didn't think Cal Stephen was going to be what he was this year.
No,
like I thought Carson Ligon would be the guy that Cal Stephen was.
Yeah,
we didn't think Durangelo would make this kind of jump. I thought he made a humongous jump from where he was last year. Mm-hmm. So there could be some guys on this roster that make a much bigger jump next year, and it'd be foolish to count them out at this point. But I do think you're going to have to go out and you're going to have to get a lot of difference makers in the portal. And the good news is I believe that you have a pitching coach that's going to be able to sell that to players and sell, look at the difference that I made in Cal Stephen when he was at Purdue and when he was at Mississippi State in 1 year. Look at the difference I made. I dropped Durangelo's ERA by 5 runs or whatever it was. You know, look at the staff ERA from year one to year two, or from year before I was here to year one. There's so much that they can do in the transfer portal to sell that they weren't able to do last year. And that's going to be the big challenge, I guess, over the next couple months. But it's got to be good. It's got to be really good, I think, for Chris Simonis to try to keep this thing back on the tracks. He did a really good job this year, but you have to be able to take the whole argument that, look, this is 3 out of 4 years that he has struggled. If you have a bad year next year, you got to be able to eliminate that and show that you're making some kind of sustained progress.
The problem with what you were describing, though, Robbie, is this. If he doesn't do it, they're not going to fire him in August.
Yeah.
So
you're going to have to play the season.
You're going to have to. The 2025 season will belong to Chris Simonis one way or the other. And then it's just, you know, it sounds foolish to say after coming off of the season where, you know, they won 40 games and then they had an opportunity to – they were close to hosting and you know, they overachieved. There's no getting around the fact they overachieved this year.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I mean, if it's bad next year and it's 3 out of 4 seasons, it's a change has to be made. You either have to make a change or you just need to somehow, you know, not so subtly tell your fan base, we're going to view baseball as a non-revenue sport from now on. And whatever happens, just happens. And we just happen
it
to
feels
have
like that's
the
what Ole Miss
stadium
is
in the country doing it.
It feels like Ole Miss is doing that a little bit.
Really? Is that okay? I'm interested. I'd be interested to see. I think their fan base will accept it a little easier. I think
keeping Mike Bianco is basically saying that. Mike Bianco has not – they won the national championship, but they won 13 SEC games that year. Mm-hmm. And you followed that up with back-to-back seasons of being really bad, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll say this. We said after the season last year we did not see Chris Simonis being able to make it out of the season.
We
and we will admit when we're wrong on that. Mm-hmm. So He deserves a little bit of a reprieve and a chance to.
He's earned next season. There's no question about that.
Well, not just that, but like he's earned like a. Let's see if he can figure it out because he figured it out this year. And I know that they weren't what people wanted them to be. I know that people wanted them to be more productive this year, and they should have been. They missed the boat on a lot, but they did improve their win total significantly. And we're a much better team this year, and we're in position to host a regional. You just have to find a way to get back to it again. And I'm going to set expectations again next year. I know people are going to be upset about it, but I'm going to set expectations again of getting back to regional and being in position to host. I don't think with what they're losing, I just don't think it's fair to come out again and say they have to make it to a super regional. They have to be a national seed. I just think this is going to be a tougher rebuild than we thought.
What I would say to that is that you won a national title in 2021, and then instead of elevating your program, you've turned it to the standard is making a regional.
I don't think that's the standard. I think you talk about the nuance. I think there's nuance here too. He got them into this hole.
He did.
But you've told Chris Simonis, Zach Selman has told him, we're going to allow you to try to dig yourself out of this. They're in a big hole. Their pitching staff was a wreck. Their roster was not great. It's not that easy to turn a roster over and immediately be a national seed, immediately be back in contention for a national championship when you have put yourself in that position. So if you've told somebody, we're going to allow you to put a plan together to fix this, I don't think it's reasonable to say we expect you in one season to be hosting a regional or a national seed, and you should be in a super regional. I just don't think in baseball especially to completely turn things from we have a 7-run earned run average to we're supposed to be winning a national championship is tough. I'm not saying that should be totally acceptable by everyone, but it's just the reality of the situation. Mississippi State was in a bad spot from, you know, evaluations or whatever. And again, that's Chris Lemonis's problem. He's the one that did it. But Zach Selman made the decision to stick with Chris Lemonis and give him a chance to kind of rebuild this thing and get back. And they made a big jump from year one to year two. It's just going to be a lot harder than people realize, I think, to get back to, you know, where they want to be.
It is going to be a process. My issue with what you're saying is simple. That, and you said it, Lemonis created the situation. You know, they were in 2021 and they were national champions. The next 2 years were awful. This year he pulls them back out a little bit, but we're already kind of thinking next year they might take a little bit of a step back, or it's going to be a very similar situation. Normally when you have a situation where things fall off and you've got to allow a coach to a chance to rebuild it, you're not talking about the same coach, especially in a situation where it's an elite program. You know, Kirby Smart would not be allowed to tank Georgia football and then bring it back. I don't think that would be allowed. So for me,
I'm speaking strictly on the decision that Zach Selman made.
And I agree with I get what you're
I'm
saying.
I'm not saying that it should be acceptable for Mississippi State fans or, you know, the program itself, but I'm talking about if you're saying, you know, Chris Lemonis is going to be fired after next season if he doesn't do this and this, from an AD standpoint that told Chris Lemonis that he was going to give him a chance to get back to where he wants to be,
right,
and he put a plan in place, I just don't foresee that
right
being a decision that Zach Selman makes.
The other issue is, so Selman tells him that at the end of the 23 season, right? You have the 24 season and you improve. If you take a if you tell me that the plan was we're going to build back out of this, in 25 you take a step back, that can't be acceptable.
Well, here's the problem is it's kind of like bad luck for him too. You have a roster where you have three or four like sophomores eligible that are very big pieces to this roster that you're going to have to replace.
And I don't call that luck, though. I mean, you are responsible for creating your roster. You're responsible.
Yeah, but you have a certain amount of roster spots, and it's
But you got guys like Michael O'Brien and Jackson McKenzie and Steven Spoleta that you recruited, and I mean, again,
they're true freshmen.
But I've seen nothing from them that make me
think.
They're
true freshmen. There's so many true freshmen I've seen over the years that have done nothing their first year and have become really good players.
You're right, but again, we're talking about the kind of players that can.
Did you see anything from Tyler Davis last year as a he wasn't a junior that you thought was that as a junior that you thought was worthy of keeping him on the roster this year?
No.
And what did you see from him this year? It's called development. It's called players getting better.
Okay. Well, I hope you're right. I keep going back.
We just don't know, Brian. That's the thing. We don't know. But you can't just write players off just because you didn't see anything from them as a true freshman.
Should I just control the controllables and just talk about the things I can control?
No, but I'm just saying like you can't just say, well, this person didn't do anything this year, so they're not going to be any good. Steven Spoleta was like the fourth catcher on the team.
I mean, we're talking about guys who don't have a hit, man. We're not talking about
freshmen in the SEC.
Not one hit.
Gerangelo Sanja had an 8 earned run average last year.
I thought
he's going to be a first round pick.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see.
I'm just not going to write off players just because they're true freshmen. I just can't do that.
Here and all season long, you couldn't find a DH. And you had these freshmen, and they got opportunities, and they never could take advantage of them. And I go back to what I said a couple months ago.
It's tough playing baseball in this league.
And Foskew and Allen and Rowdy Jordan.
Are first-round picks. Some of those guys are first-round picks.
That's my
different
point.
Players.
Recruit players like that.
That would be great. But not every player is the same. Not every player takes off right away like that.
Is there a single player on this – a single true freshman on this roster you look at and go, that's a future – first-round guy?
I see potential in guys from a projectability standpoint like Nolan Stevens, yeah.
Okay. I mean,
I can easily see Nolan Stevens exploding. Physical tool standpoint.
Feels like he needs to, concentrate on being a first baseman. I don't know that he's got the future in the pitching – on the pitching side of things.
I don't know. He's got some stuff.
I feel like that slider, if it's not locating on the first or second pitch, then he's going to walk the park. I don't know. I would like to have seen more from these young guys. They had opportunities, and none of them could ever just grab the reins and go.
No, I get it. I want to give them a little more time, and it certainly doesn't give you a lot of confidence going into next year because. Mm-hmm. You just didn't see it. And that's kind of what we talked about with this team going into last offseason is we don't know who's going to be improved. We just didn't see it enough to feel confident about Chris Lemonis turning it around this year. And I think that's the approach that you take again with this team going into next year. I don't think that you completely write off the team, but you definitely say they got to prove themselves next year because – it doesn't look great on paper.
Right.
It really doesn't. And until they go out and get difference makers in the transfer portal, and Chris Lemonis said that he wants depth on the offensive side of the ball because they just didn't have it this year.
They did not have that.
Guy coming off the bench they felt good about. You got to create depth. You got to create pieces that are going to fit within your structure. That's basically what you're looking at. So these next few months are huge for Chris Lemonis. He's got to be able to evaluate and recruit at a high level here, and hopefully, they'll be able to sell it to the portal as these guys pop in.
Going to be a very interesting next couple of months for Mississippi State baseball as they because you need to start seeing some quick you remember last year. It just drug out forever with the transfers, right? And then you end up losing Holman and you end up losing Montgomery. And it never felt like things were going the way you wanted them to. And end up, like I said, we ended up here. We ended up at this point. And I think if I could go back in time and tell everybody this is how the season's going to end, you know, you're going to be a two seed in somebody else's regional. You were the you were the fifth best team in the SEC. You were ranked in the top 25 most of the year. I think everybody would have been like, you know what? After these last 2 years, I would have taken that. But when you look ahead to next year, it's tough. It's tough to sit here with a straight face and say, I think they can get back here next year, or I think they can be better next year. This is one where when we talk about wait and see, we really do have to wait and see, because as it stands right now, if you told me to fill out a lineup card, I would not know where to begin with Mississippi State. And you go back to this time last year, I knew you could pencil in Mershon, Larry, Jordan, Hines. I probably would have said Highfield, and that's somebody we can mention. Highfield will be back next year in all likelihood. So that gives you somebody has some potential. He's a guy as a true freshman, Robbie, that showed me something. I was like, okay, you could see every night. Did he struggle? Yeah, but he also had some moments where he played well. So we'll see. That's going to be the thing we take away from tonight and from this season is it's going to be a year of we'll see, and we'll come back here for a week for in a year from probably around this day on Robbie's birthday in 2025, and we'll come back and we'll know if we're going to do another year with Chris Lemonis, or if this program is on solid footing, or if we're going to have to talk about a coaching change. And it just is that simple. We're 365 days away from knowing for sure.
Going into the offseason, there's several things they have to address. They have to address their roster, first and foremost, getting better players, players that you feel like can go out there and compete night in and night out. Give me some players like we're seeing at Tennessee, Texas A&M, some of these big, strong, athletic guys that can drive the ball of the yard, that can hit it 110 miles an hour off the bat, like Dakota Jordan and Hunter Hines, guys like that. They need more of that in the lineup. They need more guys that are going to battle at the plate, extend at bats, give you some good, strong at bats, leadership, obviously. But also they got to adjust probably some of the hitting philosophy. The hitting has been lacking for the last 3 years. And really, 2021 wasn't great. Look at the numbers. It wasn't just out of this world. You had some good hitters in that lineup. But, they weren't setting the world on fire from a statistical standpoint.
You had guys who knew how to win, and could deliver the big hit when they. And that was the one thing about that 2021 team is 1 through 9, you had guys who could deliver the big hit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even a guy like I'm trying to think like the bottom, like Scotty DeBrule. DeBrule had he could get you a big hit every now and then. Forsythe was probably the only one that I would say wasn't a guy who could get you the big hit every time out. But when DeBrule came up, Cumbest. I'm trying to think, Cam James, all those guys, you felt like, okay, they could do it here. This lineup, once they got past Hyzak, I was just, the whole season long, I was just like, eh.
Yeah, too many holes.
Jordan, Hines, Hyzak, and then the rest of them, I was just like, eh.
And then if Hines and Jordan were struggling, and then Hyzak struggled in the regional,
We talked about it last week. I said, if you get everybody going in the right direction, you get Hines and Jordan going again, and then Hyzak falls off.
Yeah.
That's
the problem. But, yeah, the things that I mentioned there are you got to address in the offseason. You got to address the fundamental things that this team's doing wrong. They've got to get better at those things. And until they figure out that stuff, we're going to keep having this conversation, either that Mississippi State is falling short of expectations or they're just downright putrid, which was what they were 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
So – again, and I agree with you, you've set the standard of this is a team that is going to compete every single year for a national championship. They got to at least start making progress back towards that spot. I don't know if next year is going to be the year that they can do that, but you definitely have to start showing that you're moving in that direction. I think for the most part, they did that this year, just getting back on track, but they also fell short of what they could have been had they done things – the little things well.
We'll see where it takes us. Going to be an interesting, like I said, a couple of months as guys from the portal show up at Mississippi State, and we'll see who's able to bring in. It's got to be a lot of guys. He's got to do what Lane Kiffin has done in football, kind of. That's where he is, and I don't know if he can do it. We'll find out. All right, tomorrow's show, Robbie will be traveling. Grace Ibarra will rejoin us. We'll talk, get her thoughts on this season, talk a little more baseball. And we have a she'll have to fill in for you on an SEC preview there, Robbie. You don't get to discuss the Florida Gators. I know you're sad.
Dang it.
So we'll do that on tomorrow's show. Guys, have a great Monday. Back with you on Tuesday. For Robbie Scott, I'm Robbie. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.